2 Samuel chapter 6, verse 16 to 23. Verse 16. As the ark of the Lord was entering the city of David, Michal, daughter of Saul, watched from a window. And when she saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord, she despised him in her heart. They brought the ark of the Lord and set it in its place inside the tent that David had pitched for it. And David sacrificed burnt offerings and fellowship offerings before the Lord. After he had finished sacrificing the burnt offerings and fellowship offerings, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord Almighty. Then he gave a loaf of bread, a cake of dates, and a cake of raisins to each person in the whole crowd of Israelites, both men and women. And all the people went to their homes. When David returned home to bless his household, Michal, daughter of Saul, came out to meet him and said, "How the king of Israel has distinguished himself today, disrobing in the sight of the slave girls of his servants as any vulgar fellow would." David said to Michal, "It was before the Lord who chose me rather than your father or anyone from his house when he appointed me ruler over the Lord's people, Israel. I will celebrate before the Lord. I will become even more undignified than this, and I will be humiliated in my own eyes. But by these slave girls you spoke of, I will be held in honor." And Michal, daughter of Saul, had no children to the day of her death. So today's sermon is Beware of a Critical Spirit by Pastor Paul.
Thank you, Steve. Before we study the Word of God, let us come before Him and pray. Please join me in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for this freedom to worship you in your house. O Lord, may we not take it for granted. Let us remember our brothers and sisters around the world in places where their freedom of worship is restricted or may not even exist. So, Lord, let us give thanks to you for this great land of Canada where we can worship you freely, where we can join together to hold Christian meetings. O Lord, as we live out this Christian life, as we live out this body life here on earth, may your Spirit constantly remind us of who we are and what we are called to do, so that we can truly live out that image of Christ. We can truly reflect the glory of Christ wherever we may be. So, Lord, may you have mercy on us individually and corporately, whether we are at home, at church, in our workplaces, in school. Lord, we pray that we can truly be good representatives of Jesus Christ. Lord, we pray that you help us deal with different issues in our lives. May we not be hindered by these issues as we come before you, especially this morning, as we open your word to 2 Samuel chapter 6. O Lord, give us humility, give us attentive spirit, give us teachable spirit, so that we can study your word together, we can hear what your word has to say to us this morning. So Lord, may you bless the following time. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Now, brothers and sisters, we've been studying the life of David as recorded in 1 and 2 Samuel. Last time when I preached to you, we were talking about how the Israelites used a different method to transport the Ark of the Covenant. As a result, God send down his punishment. God was angry at Uzzah, and right away Uzzah fell dead beside the Ark of the Covenant. And as a result, David was afraid of the Lord Jehovah. He refused to go on with the transportation. And so instead of taking the Ark to Jerusalem, he transported it to the Gittites, Obed-Edom's home. But when David learned about how God blessed Obed-Edom, he right away decided to bring the Ark of the Covenant back to Jerusalem. And so he rejoiced together with all his fellow countrymen to bring that Ark from Obed-Edom's home. Now, having learned that tragic lesson, having got 3 months to really reflect on and study the laws of Moses as to how God would want that ark to be transported, David, this time around, followed the instructions to the T. He transported the ark back to Jerusalem. You can read it up in verse 12. And along the way, he rejoiced, he danced, as alluded to by the worship team, Angus, just now. David even danced in front of the ark. Now, this morning's passage that Steve read to us is a sequel to that story. In this morning's passage, the lead actors are David and Michal, or Michal. Who is this lady, Michal? Verse 16 says, she is the daughter of Saul. And then in 1 Samuel chapter 19, verse 11, she is addressed as the wife of David. David used 100 foreskins of the Philistines to win her over to be his very first wife. Michal really loved David. But unfortunately, at that time, David was in a power struggle with Saul. Saul really wanted to kill David because he was jealous of him. And yet, Michal loved David very much, and to the extent that she would even deceive her father Saul. And so at one time, when Saul sent soldiers over to pursue and kill David, Michal cheated on his father and lied to him. She tricked her father to save her beloved husband David. Now, when David managed to escape from that incident, Saul realized that he had failed. And what did he do? He was very angry, and he remarried Michal to another man called Paltiel. The Bible recorded that when David became the king all over Israel, you can find it in chapter 3 of 2 Samuel, he decided to bring Michal back. He wanted to be reunited with his very first wife. And yet, the second husband, Paltiel, did not want to let her go, naturally. This is what we call love, right? Yeah. He followed her all the way, weeping behind her every step of the way. Now, let's think for a moment. When David got Michal back, when he was reunited with his very first wife, they should have been able to live happily ever after, right? But as we read today's passage, the story tells us it's not quite true. As we look at today's passage, we find a couple quarreling bitterly with one another. Now, when David transported the Ark of the Covenant back to Jerusalem, it should have been a cause for rejoicing and for celebrating. And David and the rest of and the whole Israel did just that, right? And David himself really enjoyed himself. And yet, probably because Michal felt ignored or neglected, she just looked at the whole parade from her room through the window. And verse 16 tells us she despised David in her heart. So when David finished blessing the whole Israel, when he finished the entire ceremony, he wanted to return home to bless his own family members too. And yet, Michal was full of despise, full of ridicule. And she said to her husband, David, in verse 20, she said, How the king of Israel has distinguished himself today, going around half naked. In another version of NIV is called disrobing. Half naked in full view of the slave girls of his servants, as any vulgar fellow would. Now what Michal said to David was like a wet blanket, was like a party pooper. This should have been avoided, especially when her husband was in celebratory mood, when David really was in need of praise and admiration. Michal ridiculed him because she felt that what David did was unfit for a king. He became kind of half naked, dancing crazily before the whole nation. This was undignified. This was unfit for the king of a nation. What Michal said was full of criticism, full of ridicule and despise. And yet, if you continue reading, you notice that David was not too shabby himself either. David's response was quite sharp and right away, you know, immediately. He said to Michal, he said in verse 22, I will become even more undignified than this, and I will be humiliated in my own eyes. By these slave girls you spoke of, I will be held in honor. And previous to that, you know, David was saying, you know, God had taken the throne from the kingship from your father and his family, and now God has put me in place, in place of Saul. And so this kind of bickering, this kind of quarrel was not really a beautiful sight. And it ended in a tragic ending. In verse 23, or sad ending, in verse 23, it says, And Michal, daughter of Saul, had no children to the day of her death. In other words, her husband David did not sleep with her anymore. And this implies that Michal lost the Lord's blessing. She missed out a lot. And Michal was the very first wife of King David. She was the empress. She was the queen. If she had had a son, her son would have been the successor of King David and become the king of Israel. And she herself would have become the mother of the king. And yet, because of her despise, because of her ridiculing, because of her criticism, she lost this kind of blessing. Now, this passage tells us today we need to be beware of a critical spirit. Michal despised David and said he was half naked or disrobing himself. In the Chinese version, it literally says David exposed himself. But actually, David was not, you know, unclothed. He was really wearing something. In verse 14 it says, wearing a linen ephod. David was dancing before the Lord with all his might. So an ephod is the kind of clothing that a priest would wear during the ceremony. But in the sight of Michal, David was acting like a fool. What he did, his conduct, was unfit for a king. Now, Michal was jealous of David and the way he celebrated the occasion. But she herself did not have any desire to join in the parade or to join in the celebration. She should have gone onto the street and celebrated the return of the Ark of the Covenant to the Israel nation. She should have shared her husband's joy. But instead, she despised her husband. She even criticized her husband. And let's pause for a moment and think. Why would people have a critical spirit? I believe that is because they are proud. They think that they have a mission, and their mission is to find fault, to catch people making mistakes, to think that they are always in the right, people are always in the wrong. People who are proud think that they are one notch higher than others. Besides being proud, there is another reason why Michal was critical in her attitude. It's because she had had a lot of hurts, and those hurts had never been dealt with. And psychologists could tell you that our present has got a very long root in the past. The way we conduct ourselves, the way we behave ourselves, the way we do things, the way we deal with people, have a long, very history in the past. The way we were brought up, the way we were treated, the way we were raised. Now, Michal had never had those things dealt with properly. And Michal suffered a lot. All her life, she was really the sacrifice for the struggle between her father and her husband. Her father, in 1 Samuel chapter 18, verse 21, her father married her to David, not really with good intentions. Saul married Michal to David because he wanted to use her as a bait to have him killed. Saul would very much want David killed by the Philistines. And so that's why he said to David, he said, I will give her to you so that you or she may become a snare to David, so that the hand of the Philistines may be against David. When Michal could be used, could be exploited, her father and even her husband, David, would very much like to have her. But when their authority was jeopardized, was under threat, both men would abandon her, would even punish her. For example, Michal became that kind of sacrifice between the father and David. She suffered a great deal. She suffered a lot. And at first, she was loyal to her husband, David. But later on, when David did not pay attention to her, she turned her attention to her father. But her father was not a good king, as we all know. Her father was rebellious against God's law and God's command. And as a result, God took away his kingship. And also as a result, her father and even her brother, Jonathan, were killed in the battle. And as we study all these different incidents in the Bible, we learn that Michal indeed had had many hurts. And she had to deal with many difficult situations. But unfortunately, she did not know how to deal with them. She did not really even see the hand of God leading her and leading the whole situation. She did not know how to forgive people. And she fell into that kind of bitterness. She fell into that kind of pain for a long, long time. Well, my question to you this morning is there any bitterness in you? Is there any hurt in you that you have not dealt with properly, that is still influencing you, affecting you in a negative way? And when you become dissatisfied, and when you are not happy, these things well up in you and act on you, and you become critical. You become, full of despise against other people. You know, I have some pastor friends who have already left the field of ministry, and they don't want to be pastors anymore. Many of them left the church because their church members criticized them. Their church members wanted to take control, wanted to control them. And no matter how the pastor, how much the pastor had done, no matter how hard the pastor had worked, the members still didn't think that the pastor had done enough. The pastor still had not done a good job. And the pastor friends felt that they could never satisfy the church members. They could never meet the expectations of the church members. And besides, unfortunately, the pastor friends felt that and knew that they were being gossiped about. There was so much gossip about them. And all this really hurt my friends. And this really made my friends lose the passion for ministry. They just didn't think that it was any good for them to stay on the mission field or the ministry. And so, with discouragement, in despair, they left the church. How sad it is. You know, in this kind of situation, who would be the happiest person? Do you know who the happiest person would be? The happiest person would be Satan. Because there's a fallout between the pastor and God's church. How sad. How pitiful. So, brothers and sisters, we need to be beware of Satan's trap. In submission, any kind of rebellion could cause us to become critical against those who are in authority. You know, David was Michal's husband, and he was Michal's king too. But Michal did not respect her husband, did not let him be the head of the family. And Michal did not respect David as king, let him be the king, not only of her, but of the entire nation. And Michal's misfortunes, Michal's behavior, really reminds us that we need to respect those who are in authority, those who are our seniors. In school, if the students do not obey teachers, there will be problem in classrooms. There's a teacher in our midst, and Andrew knows that. If your students do not listen to your instructions, there will be chaos. And at home, if children do not obey the fifth commandment, and that is honor your father and your mother, then there will be problems in parental and children relationships. And in church, if we do not respect our pastors and those who are leading us, there will be problems in church. And then you may say, well, does it mean that we shut up? Does it mean that we don't say anything? No. I really expect every member in the Burnaby Pacific Grace Church to be people who are encouraging, to be people who are admiring, to be people who are building others up, to be people who can edify others. I really hope and believe that we can be a community of this kind of believers. And we welcome opinions from everybody. Opinions are good because they can help us get better. But we must pay attention. And when we give opinions, they should be constructive and they should be appropriate. And when we give opinions, we have to choose the right time, the right place, the right situation. In the past few months ago, our church held a family meeting, right? We invited brothers and sisters to sit in the meeting to tell us, to share with us what they thought about the church. And one of the questions was, what do you like about the Burnaby Pacific Grace Church? One of the people present said, I like our church being flexible. When he suggests something to the church, so long as it is okay, then it can be done. It will be done. And so, you see, being a member or being an attendee of the Burnaby Pacific Grace Church, there is a lot of freedom here. There is a lot of liberty here. So long as we do things in the name of the Lord according to the teaching of the Bible. Now, as your senior pastor, I would like to tell you this. The pastoral staff, the elders or the deacons would welcome your opinions. We like to exchange ideas. We like to communicate with you so that we can get understanding, so that we can do things well. We belong to this spiritual home that we call the Burnaby Pacific Grace Church. We are members of the same family. Everybody needs to take part in the church life of this church. We need all hands on deck, so to speak. We need to work together. Then we will progress together. When we give our opinions, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15 comes to mind. It teaches us, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every aspect, respect, the mature body of Jesus Christ. When we communicate with those who are in authority, like our teacher, our pastor, our parent, our boss, or even government leader, we need to have that respectful attitude. And we need to have that submissive attitude. And even when we are dealing with our peers or our subordinates, we need to have that basic courtesy dealing with people. We are all created equally. We are all the same in the sight of God. The book of Proverbs tells us that when you despise the poor, you actually are mocking his creator. So in the same way, when you despise those who are in authority, you are actually mocking the one who puts them in that position. You remember last time I shared with you about David's encounter with Saul in the cave. David had that opportunity to kill Saul, and yet he restrained himself. His followers were encouraging him, and yet he knew that it would have been wrong if he had gone ahead and done it. Why? Because David recognized that even though Saul might not be a good king, Saul was the anointed one by God. And so Saul was still David's king, and David respected God and honored Saul's office as the king of Israel. And so we must pay attention to criticism, to giving ideas or opinions. There is a big difference. And so we need to be careful. When we criticize, we won't focus on the good things about the people. We will only focus on the not so good things or even the bad things, the wrongs, the mistakes that the person has made. We will only focus on the problems. We will only focus on the criticisms. And all these things would hurt people, would make people feel discouraged. And so we should restrict ourselves as well from gossiping, from any kind of back talking against the person. And if we have something to say about the person, let us say it to the person face to face, and let us not talk about the person behind his back. And if you think that what you have got to say should not be heard by the person himself, why would you go and talk to another person about this person? And so it's not right. It is not good when you can't even say it to that person face to face. Now, I personally feel that Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 to 23, where Paul talks about the fruit of the Spirit, those two verses are a good guideline or instruction for us. When we talk to people, our aim is to do this. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. If we could do all this, that would be wonderful. In a series of seminars led by this person called Dr. Neil Natalie, the seminars are about how to deal with your stress. Right off the bat, at the beginning of the seminar, Dr. Natalie told everybody present, "I want you to do this assignment for 2 weeks consecutively in a row, and that is, you are not to criticize anybody. You are not to criticize anything. You are not to criticize any situation for 2 weeks. And if you can't do it with 2 weeks consecutively, you have to start again." At the beginning, everybody in the class just felt that, oh, how come? You know, I have come to learn something, and yet now the assignment, I have come to learn to relieve my stress and all that. And yet, this assignment has given me even more stress. Fortunately, this series of seminars lasted for 8 weeks. In the beginning, almost every student in the class, they failed even on the second day. And so they had to start again. And some students even failed 2 times, 3 times, and 4 times. But as I said, it's good that it was a long seminar. And in the end, everybody was able to complete the assignment. In 2 weeks' time, during those 2 weeks, nobody criticized anybody. Nobody talked about anything negatively. Nobody criticized any situation. And when they come together to debrief, then they say, this. This is a very meaningful exercise because it helps them to see people, to see things, to see situations in a positive light instead of a negative way. And now they will focus on people's strengths rather than people's mistakes. When we made up our mind, when we are determined to do away with this bad habit of criticism, the benefit is not just for the people. The benefit is actually for us. And so I hope that and pray that from this day on, when we are tempted to criticize, when we are tempted to say things bad about people, about things, let us follow Jesus' teaching in Matthew chapter 7. And there Jesus Christ says, "Do not judge, or you too will be judged. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye?" When we can do this, then we can say squarely and boldly in the face of Satan, "I have already overcome your temptation. I don't criticize." Now we thank the Lord. Jesus Christ has given us that example on the cross. He died for us unconditionally. His love even teaches us to be forbearing, to be accepting even our enemies. And so, let us think about this. If God were to criticize us, if God were to find faults with us, I'm afraid there are many. There would be many. And no matter how we try to hide ourselves, we could no way to hide from that if God were to do that. But today, God said to you and me through Jesus Christ, "I forgive you." And today is the Sunday for celebrating the Holy Communion. And let us remember what Jesus Christ has done for us on the cross. And let us remember what Jesus Christ has done so that as He forgives us, we will forgive one another. And let us change from a fault finder to a grace giver as we learn to live Jesus lived. And let us really pray what King David had prayed in Psalm 139. He said, "Lord, search me and know my heart." And if I may add, I add this: "Lord, if I have a critical spirit, if I have said anything unkind about someone, if I have discouraged someone, if I have this sarcastic spirit towards someone, if I have despised them in my mind, Lord, forgive me. Lord, I don't want to be the one that Satan would use to hinder the work of God in this church." Amen. So before we break the bread and drink the cup, let us come before the Lord and have a moment of silent prayer. Let us pray. As the Word of God speaks to you this morning, how are you to respond? If you too fell into that mindset, that situation of Mikhail, maybe you want to talk to God. On the one hand, to take away your pride. On the other hand, to help you deal with your hurts. And then ask God to give you a new spirit. Ask God to give you, to take away that critical spirit. O God, as we are quiet before you, you know our minds, you know our hearts, you know what we are thinking and what we are dealing with. O God, we pray that you have mercy on us. May you be gracious to us, so that we can once again be forgiven by you. We can once again be given another opportunity, another chance to live this life anew here on earth for you. O Lord, make us a blessing to others, and let us not be used by the devil to hinder your work in this church. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I invite all of you who have been born again and baptized in his name to take part in the Holy Communion. If you are ready, please indicate to the communion ushers later. And for those of us who may not be Christians or who are not baptized yet, we invite you to be quiet as well before the Lord and meditate on how your life has been and what God really wants you to do. Especially if you are not a Christian, I encourage you to think about this and accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior soon. And so I ask the communion ushers to come forward, please.